have that childlike spirit, even as adults, as children of the King, and just to enjoy life. And so we really, really enjoyed our day. Good to see you here on this Monday evening. And again, I'm looking forward to what God has for us tonight. Let's take our Bibles and go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 in the Word of God this evening. As you're turning there, let me highlight another book that's on the back table. And this is the second book the Lord allowed me to publish in 2020. And I wrote this book in April of 2020. And if you remember what was going on in the world in April of 2020, coronavirus burst upon the scene there in mid-March, and all the world shut down, basically. And a very, very unique, unusual time, which we lived through. I'm sure you remember that. But the month of April, I said, I was just going stir crazy. Of course, as a young evangelist, I had meetings canceled. And so we were doing the church online thing for a while, and just seemed like a I was just getting stir crazy inside the house. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, certainly it's got to be something for this month. And through a series of circumstances, the Lord laid it upon my heart just to write this little gospel booklet. Now, the bigger books that are back on the table are for you as a Christian in your Christian walk, to grow in your walk with the Lord. This little book is for you as a Christian to take and to put in your evangelistic toolbox, all right? This is a simple gospel presentation. It's called The Forever Lockdown. It's warning people there's a final and a forever lockdown coming. That's for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, much worse than what COVID-19 did. And it's a simple gospel presentation. It talks about chapter one, the deadliest virus of all, which is sin, and goes into the forever lockdown, separation from God in the lake of fire. But then it goes into Jesus, God's way of escape, the decision, faith or unbelief. And for those that may trust Christ, as a chapter at the end about the brand new life that we have now in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so specifically in my mind, someone that you are trying to reach with the gospel, maybe a neighbor, a coworker, a family member, someone that you have maybe built a little bit of a relationship with, and they think, no, this is a little small book. I think they would maybe read through that. And I try to write in a very non-confrontational way, just trying to present people what the Bible says about life and death and eternity and all that. And so maybe that'd be something for you to consider to give to someone that you're trying to reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Okay. Colossians chapter 2 in the Word of God. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Those are our text verses tonight. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I want to preach tonight on this subject, a message I've entitled, Walking in Jesus. Walking in Jesus. Let's pause and let's ask for the Lord's help. Father, thank you so much for the blessings we've already received today. Truly, your mercies are new every morning. Just the breath that you give us, the food, Lord, the time with family and friends, the creation we're able to enjoy, Lord, every good gift is from you. And I thank you for the opportunity to gather once again tonight and to sit under the sound of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd still our minds and our hearts, Lord, from the distractions that would so seek to take us away, Lord, from you. Lord, I pray that you would defeat the enemy. We just sang about your victory, God, and I pray, Lord, that you'd manifest your victory among us tonight. If there's one here that doesn't know you personally, draw them to yourself. For us as believers, help us to truly understand what the Christian life is all about and what this means that we are to walk in you. And so please fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross. May you be exalted, for you alone are worthy this evening. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. There are a few things in life that are a better understood concept and a practiced action than that of walking. Walking. It is the shared experience and exercise of the human race. God made mankind to walk. It's how we get from point A to point B. It's how we move about in this life. I guess God could have made us without legs and made us to kind of scoot or to zoom around everywhere. That's kind of a funny thought when you think about it. But that's not what he chose to do, right? He made us to walk. And in the physical sense, if we're going to get anywhere in life, we have to get there by walking. Well, in the spiritual sense, if we're going to get anywhere as well, we have to walk. Again, as we saw with bread yesterday morning, God takes something in the physical realm and he gives us a spiritual analogy. He chooses to use the word walk for how we are to live in the Christian life, especially as you look at the writings of Paul. Paul uses this word quite often. Peter does as well, not as much as Paul, but you find it throughout the New Testament, this idea of living the Christian life or presenting the Christian life as a walk. And so let's take a look at this idea of walking tonight, all right? Three simple points. Number one, I want us to see the position of our walk. The position of our walk. Notice again what Paul says here in verse number 6, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye, notice, in Him. In Him. Again, I like to do word studies, and the word walk here, there's a couple different words where we get our English word here, our English version walk in the Greek language, but the most common word in the Greek New Testament is the word peripateo, okay? Peripateo. And what is that? That's the word that is used here when Paul says, so walk, so peripateo in Him. And it simply means this. It means to move about in a space, to walk up and down. So right now, I'm stationary, but when I start moving, I'm peripateting. I don't know if I use that correctly, all right? But anyways, that's the idea. I am moving about. I am walking up and down. And so it's a very, we could say in a sense, it's a generic word, but this is the idea. And again, this is a word that is most commonly used, not all the time, but most commonly used when you see the word walk in the New Testament. Galatians 5:16, I think I mentioned that yesterday. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Move about in the realm of the Spirit. This is the idea. And so Paul says here that we are to move about in Him, in Jesus. You say, what's the idea there? In His life. Now, let me say this very clearly tonight. This is more than just walking with Jesus. Now, I want to be very, very clear, okay? It is not wrong whatsoever to use the terminology walking with Jesus. The Bible says, talks about some of the saints of God from years gone by. It talks about men that walked with God, okay? And so it is not wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm trying to say. It is not wrong to use the terminology walking with Jesus. But here's what I mean tonight. Sometimes, again, just whether we're conscious of it or not, sometimes we think of, well, we're walking with someone as just that we're just really close to someone. We're just really near to someone. And again, that is true. And we've already sang about it tonight, right? The Bible says that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us, all right? And so that is a true idea. But here's what I want us to understand tonight, that the Bible, the way the Bible describes what God has done for us, it's much more than just that God is with us or near us. What God has actually done is He has united us to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in Him. He is in us. And this is the idea. Again, sometimes I think we view Jesus as just a really close friend, and we like to spend time with Him when we come to church, and we like to spend time with Him in our devotions. And again, all that is good. We ought to want to spend time with the Lord, but what do we do with a friend? We spend time with them for a while, and then we separate, right? We go our own ways. And so it's not just that God is with us or near us. He has put us into Christ. He has put Jesus into us over and over and over again, especially in the Pauline epistles. You will find Paul using the terminology in Christ, in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me because I did not look. I don't know the exact number of times, but if you study through those epistles, especially Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, especially those, it's what we call doctrinal or foundational truth that everything else is based upon, okay? And so over and over again, Paul says it's not just that He's with us, we are in Him. He is in us. And that's what Paul says here. He says, as we've received Him, we are to walk. We are to move about in Him. Again, this is why Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse number 4, that we are to walk in newness of life. Now, that's not my life spiffed up. That's not Will Geisman just trying really, really hard to do what God says. That is literally, again, we talked about it a little bit yesterday morning, that's literally this new divine life that's been planted inside of me. We are born again with a divine life from heaven, and we are to walk in that newness of life, in the newness of that quality of life, the fruit of the Spirit, as we'll see here in just a little bit. Again, that's why Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what Jesus said. Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Again, we understand, or at least I hope, I would assume on a Monday night, most of us have heard John 15 and that analogy of Jesus being the true vine, and we're just a branch. And a branch has no life in and of itself. Its only life is through the vine, in the vine. And as the branch stays connected in the vine, drawing its nutrients from the vine, that branch does what it's supposed to do. Okay, that's why Paul could say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I knew Galatians 2:20 ever since I was young. But it wasn't again until college that God really dawned upon my heart the truth that, hey, it's not just preacher talk. It's not just pie in the sky mumbo jumbo. It's reality. Christ himself by his Spirit is within you. Wow, what an amazing thought. And if we really grabbed a hold of it, you know what that means? That means that God gives us tomorrow morning, April, whatever tomorrow is, April 21st, I think, 2026, right? It means that when you wake up tomorrow morning as a Christian, there is H-O-P-E, there is hope. We don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be discouraged. Again, as we remember the fact that it's no longer I, it's Christ that lives in us. That's why Paul could say in Colossians 1:27, it is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. That's why he says, in fact, you're there in chapter 2, look over the page at chapter 3. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, oftentimes we stop there. And it's a tremendous truth that we are to set our affection, our desires, our mind on things that are above. But why? Oh, don't divorce it, right? It's one continuous thought. Look at verse number 3. Why are we to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth? For ye are dead, and your life, right now, present tense, your life is hid with Christ in God. As a believer tonight, listen, our old fleshly man, right, was crucified. That old nature was crucified. It was put to death on the cross of Christ. And now this new life that God's given us, it says our life is wrapped up. It's enveloped in the life of Jesus, in the life of God. That's what it says. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life. By the way, that's present tense. That's not just getting to heaven one day. That's right now, when Christ, right now, who is our life, when he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And so this is our position. This is what God has done at the moment of salvation. Listen tonight, at the moment you were born again, whenever that was, all right, I was saved when I was 8 years old. If you were saved when you were a child or an adult, think about that time when you were born again. At the moment you were born again, you didn't just receive some list of doctrines that are now true to you. Although that is true, okay? We've been justified, we've been sanctified, positionally set apart, okay? We've been forgiven, okay? But we didn't just receive some list of doctrines that are now true about us. Again, I just can't overemphasize this enough. We received a life, a person, himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, moving into us. That's why it says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, but as many as received him. Not just the truths about Jesus, but Jesus personally. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen tonight, we must fully grasp and appropriate our position if there's any hope of our practice being right. You understand that? There's a lot of people today that are going through motions that I would say are in imitation mode, and they're doing and they're doing the right things. And listen, I'm not saying tonight that we don't do certain things or not do certain things. I'm saying tonight that the source has to be right. And the source, the only right source, the only things that God accepts are what comes from Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it this way. Only God can meet the standard of God. Does that make sense? Yes. Only God meets the standard of God. Now, we understand that I hope we understand that tonight when it comes to being born again. That's why, again, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said to a group of followers, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, what was he saying? Was he saying that the Pharisees were really? No, his point was that you have to have something greater than yourself. All of us, again, have been tainted by sin. And so whatever comes of us, when you spoil the source, everything that comes of that source is spoiled. It's bad. Jesus was saying there has to be something greater than yourself. And so we understand tonight that we need the righteousness of Christ to get to heaven. But it takes a lot of Christians a lot longer to understand, I know because I did for years, that just that same truth, only God meets the standard of God, applies to the Christian life as well. And so we might say tonight, well, that's, wow. I mean, well if that's the case, what hope is there? The hope is that God Himself is within us to accomplish these things. God Himself is within us, again, to enable us and to strengthen us to as we yield to Him, as we obey, that it's literally Christ Himself that's living His life through us. I love the song Channels Only, right? Channels only, blessed Master, but with all Thy wondrous power flowing through us, Thou canst use us every day and every hour. I tell people, if you say anything good in Will Geisman, it's not Will Geisman. Because as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I know that in me, in my flesh dwells no good thing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's life. Again, this is what makes Christianity different from every other religion or type of faith that's out there. It is this real relationship with a living Savior. We are alive in Him. He's alive in us. That's what makes Christianity different. Can I say, let me read this quote. I want to read you this quote. It's by a man named Jason Henderson. I really don't know much about this man. I told you yesterday, I love books. I'm all the time picking up books. And I was looking for another book on Amazon, and this title just came across. And the title was Not I, But Christ. And so I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And so I read the back little pamphlet, or, you know, tells you what the book's about. And I thought, wow, that sounds really good. And so I picked it up. I still really don't know much about this guy, but it's a tremendous, tremendous book. Anyways, so this is what he says. It's a little bit lengthy quote, all right, but I want you to hang with me here. And this is such a good statement. He says, Christianity is not religion, it is life. Specifically, it is the life of Jesus Christ given to the soul of man. It is not a collection of beliefs, although knowing His life will cause us to see and to walk in the truth. Now, let me stop there. He is not saying that doctrine's not important. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand me tonight. Doctrine is vital, okay? Doctrine, we cannot get away from the truth, all right? The truth of God's Word. But what he's saying is that, let's put it this way. Do false religions have doctrine? Do they have teaching? They do, yeah. Now, it's false teaching, okay? But they have teaching. They have a collection of beliefs, okay? And so he says this. He says, it's not a collection of beliefs, although when we know His life, it'll cause us to see and to walk in the truth. He says, it's not a kind of behavior, although abiding in His life will affect all that we desire and do. So again, pause. He's not saying that our behavior, what we do, doesn't matter. But again, do other religions have a moral code? Do they have things they try to follow? Yeah, they do. Okay, so he's saying that it's not simply a kind of behavior, but when we abide in the life, that affects everything that we do. Okay, he closes by saying this. He says, Christianity, at its very root and in every branch, is bound up with a very specific life that God gives, reveals, and forms in the soul of man. Christianity is Christ living in you. And I say amen and amen to that. It's Christ living in you. I'll get. Can we talk after service?
I just wanted to ask the title of the book, sir.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's Colossians. That's where I'm at. Colossians chapter. Oh, I'm sorry. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. You're welcome. Yep. Not I, but Christ by Jason Henderson. And so Christianity is Christ living in you. And again, this is what makes Christianity different. And so we have to understand our position that Christ is our life in Him. As Paul said about God, but about Jesus, because Jesus is God, in the book of Acts, all right, Paul says that in Him we live and move and have our being. In other words, He's the source. He's the source of everything that is godly and good and needed. The Christian life, hear me tonight, the Christian life is not about imitation. It's about impartation. It is Christ in you and through you. Not imitation, all right? Impartation, Christ in and through you. So that's the position of our walk. Secondly, I want you to see this, all right? Back there in Colossians chapter 2. So we see, number one, the position of our walk is in Him. Secondly, the practice of our walk. Notice what Paul says again at the beginning. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So the practice of our walk. Now this is where the rubber meets the road. Every believer, every Christian, if you're a Christian tonight, you have the indwelling Spirit of Christ in you. Okay? But not every Christian walks victoriously every day. I mean, we all of us, this preacher included, all of us give evidence to the fact that many times it's our flesh that's in control. And so this is where the rubber meets the road. If our position is spiritually in Christ, how do we practice that? How do we allow His life to flow through us? Well, this is not a trick question tonight. It's a Monday night. I know a lot of you have worked a long day, okay? This is not a trick question, all right? How'd you receive Him? Someone tell me how you received Him in salvation. Faith, belief. And this is what Paul said. Don't miss it. It's so simple. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, now you are to walk in Him by faith. I told you yesterday that we probably talk about faith a little bit more because I'm convinced that faith, everything in the Christian life hinges on faith. Hinges on if we will exercise faith, take God at His word, trust God, depend upon God. As I said yesterday, faith is much more than giving mental assent to facts. It is personalized trust. It is personalized dependence. Faith is trusting or depending upon God to do for you what you could never do for yourself. Again, faith is absolutely essential to the Christian life. It's how we receive everything that God wants us to receive. It's how we enter the Christian life. It's how we are to now walk in the Christian life. It's complete dependence upon the Lord. Again, Romans 1:17, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So we understand we're saved by faith, but it says right there, and it says, I think it's three or four times in Scripture it uses that phrase, that we are to live. The just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6, it is, but without faith, it is what? Impossible. That's pretty strong language. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I mentioned this verse yesterday, but let me mention it again just to further solidify it in our minds. John 7:38. Remember, he that believeth on me, so as we keep exercising faith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. See, what many Christians do, I know because I did it. What many Christians do, we get saved, we get born again, we're excited as we should be. We want to now serve Jesus who died for us as we should. Okay, and so we go to the Bible and we say, what should we do? Okay, we got to pray. We got to witness. We got to tell everybody about Jesus. We need to go to find a good church to get into. And we need to make sure that we're living a holy life, separated from the world. And now, all the things that I said, should we be doing those things? Yes, absolutely. Again, the issue tonight, I'm not saying that we don't do certain things. The issue, again, tonight is the source of that activity. Because a lot of Christians can say, okay, we're just going to go, let's just do this. But if they're not taught or they don't understand this living relationship with Jesus, the Spirit of God who's now within them, then I don't care how it looks on the outside, it's just religion. It's just going through motions. And when you're just going through motions, you find, man, you find that not only do we not want to do this because we have the flesh, that's that sin principle within us that's pulling us down. But we find that that we can't do it. We can't consistently do it. In other words, the Christian life has to be lived on the supernatural level because it's a supernatural life. Does that make sense? Think about it. Let's just take a few of the commands in Scripture, all right? Man, we're doing good. It's only quarter till. We're doing good, okay? Think about some of the commands in Scripture. Love your enemies. Anybody want to do that? I don't want to do that. That goes against everything in our fallen human nature. Our response is revenge, or it's at least we're turning a cold shoulder. We're not going to talk to that person. We're not going to do good to that person. Love your enemies. What about pray without ceasing? Oh, that's kind of talked a little bit about that last night. That's kind of a tough one. What about Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, in case you missed it, again, I say rejoice. Always? Like, always, God? Like, I understand. I can rejoice in the Lord when there's enough money in the bank and when my health is good and I got no family conflict. And always? What am I saying? I'm saying that as you just look at what, again, God requires of his children, not only is it hard, it's impossible in your flesh. And that's the point. That's why I say the Christian life has to be lived on a supernatural level, because it's a supernatural life. It's God himself within us. And you say, okay, preacher, I think I'm getting that. But how do we access that? The same way that we access salvation. We simply believe God. We trust him. We depend upon him. Let me give you an illustration, because a lot of times when I'm preaching along these lines, again, people will say, okay, well, I think I get it, and I see what the Bible says, but preacher, like, how does this, again, like, daily life, how do you apply this to daily life? Let me give you an illustration that hopefully will be a help. I mentioned yesterday, and for those that weren't here, I'll say it again, that we adopted our oldest two children. So Haley and Dom, they were 6 and 2 when they came to us. And in 2014, we adopted them in 2016. And I could talk all night about what God did and just how they just fit so well in our family. Most people, if I don't even say that, most people would have no idea. And so when they came to us, well, let me preface it by saying this. I consider myself to be a very reserved, introverted person. You can ask my wife, this is the honest truth. The most talking I do is when I preach. That's the honest truth. Otherwise, perfect night for me is to stay at home, cup of coffee, and a good book. That and you know, quiet, hopefully. that's the perfect night. That's my ideal night. My wife is much more social, loves talking to people, can play games with people till 2 in the morning, you know, and so we balance each other out well in that way. But all that to say that before the kids came to live with us, my house was quiet. And you know what, Pastor Lynn? I liked it. I liked it a lot. And then a 6 and a 2-year-old got dropped off, and the world just flips upside down. And I was trying to be patient. I was. I'm telling you, I am not a patient individual. I can get very irritable and very frustrated very quickly when I'm not conscious of Christ within me and depending upon him. And I was trying to be patient. And for anybody that's dealt with the government system, you already know that you're already in an uncomfortable situation and all the red tape and the government in your home and all these things. And so you're just kind of already on edge. The kids, and again, this is the honest truth, I was not blowing up, outwardly blowing up at my children, but I could tell, and every parent in here knows what I'm talking about, the times where the irritability within me would just be rising. The kids were just being kids, you know, or maybe they get a little excessive, a little loud, but man, I could tell in my spirit, I was trying to be patient, but man, I was irritable all the time. I was frustrated. You can ask my wife. I was a grump to live with on many, many days. And I knew it wasn't right. I knew that wasn't the life of God within me. And so, all glory to God. You say, well, what'd you do? Well, God had to bring me, and he's still, by the way, he's still doing that because I'm still that way in my flesh, all right? We never improve in our flesh. And so, God had to show me, though, that it wasn't in me, that I had to come to the end of myself. And so I began to pray something to this effect on a daily basis. I said, God, I can't do this. I need your patience for my impatience. If you ever heard of Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, he called it the exchanged life. Here's my book, another book recommendation, all right? Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. I think it's written by his grandchildren, Dr. Howard and Mrs. Taylor. But it's called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. He talks about the exchanged life. And Hudson Taylor was in China for many years, and he saw some results, but he still felt like he was missing something. And he was, had the tendency to be an angry individual. And so he began to pray things like, God, my hate for your love, Lord, my impurity, God, for your purity, Lord, my worry for your peace, God. And he called it the exchange life. And so I started recognizing that, man, I'm trying to be patient, and it's not working. It's not happening. And so I came to the end of myself, Lord, you have to do this within me. And I can honestly testify, again, I was not perfect, still am not perfect, because my access to Jesus is still not perfect, all right? I still depend upon my flesh too often, all right? But I can honestly testify that as God was teaching me this, that there were days where the kids get a little bit rowdy or whatever, and I could tell in my spirit that I wasn't getting frustrated, that I wasn't, I was responding with patience and love. And you say, well, what'd you do when you discovered that? Well, I patted myself. No, I didn't pat myself on the back. You know why? Because in those moments, when you're honest with yourself, I knew that's not Will Geisman. That's Jesus. And that's how it works. Can I say this tonight? Don't complicate this matter of living by faith. Sometimes a lot of Christians, sometimes newer Christians, they think, oh, walk in the Spirit, live by faith. Wow, these are terms, and they're so out there, and that must just be for the preachers and for the deacons and Christian school teachers. No, no, no. It's for every child of God. It's the inheritance of every born-again believer. See, I don't know what your need is tonight. I don't know. Maybe you need patience for somebody. Maybe you need love for somebody, forgiveness for somebody, victory over besetting sin, wisdom in a situation. I don't know what it is, but the answer is the same, right? The answer is coming to the end of yourself, recognizing, just like in salvation, we recognize we can't get to heaven on our own. We recognize in the Christian life, I can't love this person as I should. I can't overcome this sin like I should. It just keeps defeating me. I can't. Again, I don't know what the issue is, but the answer is, God, I can't. You can. And I'm trusting you to do it in and through me. That's living by faith. Again, it's trusting God to do in and through you what you can't do yourself. It's complete, total dependence upon the Lord. And so, again, if I can say it this way, as we recognized that we were bankrupt as far as getting to heaven apart from Jesus, every one of us needs to recognize tonight how bankrupt we are when it comes to living the Christian life apart from Jesus. We have to abide in him. We have to move about, walk in him, walk in his life. Recognize, I'll say it again, I said it last night, that Jesus is not just a future Savior. He is a present Savior, delivering from sin and self. Sometimes I'll say to people, did Jesus save you today? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, I was saved when I was 8, or I was saved when I was 10. Or, no, 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 I'm not asking when you were born again. I'm asking, did he save you today? Did he save you from your lust, from your bitterness, from your worry and fear, from your whatever, again, jealousy? Did he save you today? In fact, I want you to turn to this passage, all right? And then we're going to get to our last point. Oh, we're doing good on time. We're going to have you out of here on time. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Would you do that? Again, we're talking about the practice of our walk, and the practice of our walk is by faith. As you've received him, so walk in him. So whatever it is, come to God every morning. God, I can't. You can. I'm depending upon you. And then watch him work that in your life. Well, but look at Romans 5. Romans 5, most of us, I think, are familiar with verse number 8, right? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But look at verse number 10. And I didn't notice verse number 10 really until I, again, was in college, and this verse jumped off the page. Look at what Paul says. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his, what's the word?
Life.
Life. Say, no, preacher, it's his death that saves us. Well, Paul says it's his life. So is it his death or his life? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Break down what Paul's saying here. If, when we were enemies, so when we were apart from God, when we were not born again, when we were lost in sin, if when we were enemies, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. We were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more. In other words, now that you're in the family of God, now that you're God's child, much more, we should be saved. We should be delivered by his life right now, his power, the resurrection power that's within every Christian that we need to daily depend upon. Again, maybe you're here tonight. I don't know what you're going through, but I know life's full of problems. I know the devil loves to throw his darts at Christians, and I know he loves to discourage us with sin. I don't know what it is, but if you're defeated tonight, can I say again, just as we talked about yesterday morning about coming and feasting on true bread, can I say tonight that Christ's life is within you and you can wake up tomorrow morning and say, wow, God, I need you to save me. I need you to deliver me from this by your life. I'm depending upon you, God. I encourage you to do that. Now, again, we're not going to live a perfect life. I said that yesterday. And a lot of times Christians get discouraged because they get all excited about this and say, oh, this is wonderful. And they think somehow they're never going to sin the rest of their life. Well, that's not the case. Again, our access, we still have the world of flesh and the devil that are constantly battling against us. We're not going to be perfect, but I will say this. You don't have to live continuously in defeat. There is an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse number 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it what? More abundantly. See, every believer has life, but not every believer is tapping into the abundant life, the life of God. That's within us. Did you talk to... Here's another thing. People say, well, Brother Will, how do I know if it's me and my flesh just going through motions or if it's really the Spirit of God within me? And again, we could talk about a lot of things, but let me simply say this. I'll ask people. You don't have to answer this out loud. This is just for you to think about. And again, this is the simplicity of the Christian life. I'll say, did you talk to Jesus this morning? I'm not saying that you had to spend an hour, but at some point this morning, did you get up and say, God, I need you today? Because if you didn't, if you went throughout this whole day without telling Jesus, Jesus, I need you, I would kindly suggest that you're more self-sufficient than you care to admit. Again, the life of faith is this awareness, this constant awareness of, yes, we can't, our weakness, that it's not in me. But it's coming to Jesus. Man, I love that song that we sang tonight. What was that called again? Jesus strong. Jesus strong and true. Hey, when you're weak, come to Jesus. When you're afraid, come to Jesus. When you can't get victory over sin, come to Jesus, right? Jesus says, come. I know that you're weak. You know, it's like God saying, listen, I know that you're weak and I know that you're going to struggle. That's why I'm here. Come to me. The whole Christian life, can I say? The whole Christian life, I think, is one big invitation to Jesus. To get to heaven, come to Jesus. Have peace, come to Jesus. Have joy, come to Jesus. Have victory over sin, come to Jesus. Have strength through your trial, come to Jesus. It's one big invitation of come to Jesus. Our practice. Are we practicing every day this walk of faith? Paul says, as you've received him, so walk in him. And then let me show you. I got 10 minutes here. Let me show you this third thing. Okay, number three, the purpose of our walk. So there's the position of our walk in him. There's the practice as you've received him. It's by faith. And then thirdly, what is the purpose of our walk? Look at verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. All right, three things here that I see, the purpose of our walk. Number one, stability. Stability. What's uses two words here. He says rooted, and then he says later, and established in the faith. Can I say this tonight? When you live on the rock, your life is stable. I didn't say perfect. I didn't say you're not going to have any storms. But when you live on the rock, you have stability. And it's why people will look at you and say, hey, what's the reason of the hope that's within you? man, you're going through a terrible thing. Your family's going through a terrible thing, but you still got a smile on your face, and you talk about going to church and trusting God. What's the reason? Because when you live on the rock, you have a stable life. And that's what it says here, that as we are, that as we continue to walk in Him by faith, it says that we are rooted in Him, that we are established in Him. We live in an ever-changing world, right? Everything we know is changing all the time. Politics change, economy changes, technology changes. You get a new phone today, it's old tomorrow, right? Because they're always coming out with a new phone or tablet or something like that. Our bodies are changing. I think all of us have gotten to the point, well, I see some little ones here tonight, but I think all of us mostly have gotten to the point where you wake up one morning and say, oh, my back hurts this morning. Oh, what did I do yesterday? I can't even think of anything I did yesterday, and my back still hurts, right? Your body is changing. Everything that we know in life is changing. And aren't you so glad that in this ever-changing world in which we live, that we have a changeless one that we can look to, that we can depend upon, that we can stand upon and say, though all else changes, Christ never changes. Amen. And we look to Him and we trust Him and we just keep coming to Him every single day. Stability. Secondly, there's maturity. Maturity. Again, what's it say? Rooted and built up in Him. We're being built up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say this tonight? Spiritual growth is not checking off a list of do's and don'ts. Now again, don't anybody go out of here and say, well, that preacher said I don't have to do anything. Right, no, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. But spiritual growth in itself, it's not just checking off a list of do's and don'ts. Spiritual growth is growth up into Jesus, into His person, allowing more of His life to be revealed in us as we deny ourselves more and more. Again, as we decrease, we allow Him to be seen more and more, the fruit of His Spirit, right? That's spiritual maturity. So we are rooted and we're built up in Him. And then lastly, productivity. Stability, maturity, productivity. And for this, let's turn to one last passage and we're going to be done. Turn to John chapter 15. A text that I referenced a little bit ago. Let's look at it. John 15, productivity. The purpose of our walk, that we can have a stable life, that we can be mature in Christ, that we can be productive, productivity. What does Jesus say? John 15, 8. We're going to close with this. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye what? Bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to evidence to the world, this is what I'm like. This is what God's like. God is love. He's joy. He's peace, long-suffering, gentle, good. He's faithful, meekness, all the fruits of the Spirit, right? Again, fruits of His life, manifestations of His life that's within us. And He wants us to bear that fruit to others. Again, in that book, Not I, But Christ, Jason Henderson, he makes this quote, all right? This is so good. He says, fruit isn't a busy branch. Fruit isn't a gifted branch. Fruit is always the increase of a seed. You understand that? We understand that when we look at fruit. It's the increase of a seed. You know, just because someone is busy in ministry doing this, doing that, it doesn't mean they're connected to the vine. And it doesn't mean that it's gold, silver, precious stones. Again, that's why it could be imitation. You ever seen like plastic fruit from a distance? It's like, oh man, look at those grapes over there. Oh, look at those bananas. And the closer you get, hopefully the closer you get, you'll discover, oh, it's just plastic. Well, I think there's a lot of plastic fruit in the Christian life. Again, people, just like myself, right, people are trying to exercise patience. They're trying to exercise love for somebody. But it's imitation, and it doesn't please God because it doesn't come from the right source. Fruit isn't a gifted branch. Fruit isn't a busy branch. He says fruit's always the increase of a seed. What's the seed? 1 John 3:9 talks about the seed of God that's been implanted in every Christian. The life of God. Fruit is the outflow of the seed, the life of God that's within us. As we yield, as we depend, as we say, God, we can't, you can. Would you work this in us? Let me ask you as we close tonight, are you walking in Jesus? Yeah, walk with him, be near him, be in his word. But have that idea of, but I'm in him, he's in me. I don't just walk with him and then I go away and do my, no, in him. Paul said, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. This is personal revival. It really is. Some people might say, this is a weird revival message. When you understand this concept, this is personal revival. Coming to Jesus every day. The word revive means life again. Life. Whose life? The life of God. The life of God within us. Being revived. Being refreshed by just yielding afresh to him and allowing him to fill us and control us. Oh, may God help us tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. I pray, Lord, that you take these thoughts, that you use them in our hearts. Lord, again, I don't know the needs of everybody, but I know that we are all a needy people because we all have the world of flesh and the devil that are fighting against us. And God, I pray that you would help us all to apply this personally, to walk in you, allow your life by your spirit to fill us, to control us. And Lord, I pray you, again, just use us tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're almost done. Thank you for your very kind attention on a Monday evening. Is there somebody here tonight? Again, I'm speaking to believers. If you're here tonight and you're not sure